You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggi. Gosh, sometimes I forget my name is Sita Durjan Biggi. It could be Sita Durjan Ishmael Biggi. But for this show purposes, it's Sita Biggi on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are also heard all over the world on the web, every single country. We have friends from actually Ireland and India and Canada and all over the place, and Trinidad, of course. Yes, my co-host Ellen Little is here, and Ellen is going to tell our dear listeners how to tune in on our show and how to listen and how to get the podcast.
Yes, so if you are by a computer, 1510wwbc.com, you'll hit the on demand button, and then that should take you right to listen live, and you'll be listening live right here to the show. Podcast is right available, will be available directly after the show, usually within an hour or so. And then also we have it also on our website at cedamediainc.com.
That's right.
And we got 2,000 downloads just from the podcast last week, just from what was on the website last week.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's actually 21 something, but who's counting?
Well,
so thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in and obviously sharing it with your friends.
Right. And so, and you know, the good thing is our show is fun. We make it fun. It's quite entertaining at times, and it's educational, very informative. And we like to have people on our show who are doing great things on planet Earth. People who are like-minded that understand that this human form that we're all blessed to be on this earth in, it's just an earthly form, and we have to do good things while we're on Earth to give back to community, to this community, and to this the United States. And I have to tell you, Ellen, I've been attending so many events. I just went to the Brevard Bar Association, where I heard a gentleman named Daryl speak about being convicted and imprisoned for life. And then after 20 years of spending time in the penitentiary, he was exonerated. And I tell you, all the attorneys in that room learned something, and I don't think there was anybody's eyes that were dry when we left, because he talked about the horrors of prison and what lies can do to a grown man. Just an eyewitness that lied on the witness stand. And you know, we see so much hate in our world right now, where lying 101 has become so normal for people. I mean, I remember telling a little white lie, you know, like if you buy something and you say it's on sale when it's not on sale, you know. You know, that's acceptable, I think, sometimes. You know, but I mean, people are outright lying on the witness stand, and they're cutting deals with the prosecutors, and good people end up in prison and they're not treated right. And he told us, you know, what they do to prisoners and stuff. And I just want to say, you know, when you listen to people speak, they're still human beings, even though they're convicted of a crime. We ought to understand that. And it's not right to treat anybody in such inhumane ways. It really isn't. And talking about inhumane ways, I was watching CNN, and I see what happened on the border with all these children who are sleeping on the floors, and they don't have toothbrushes and food and diapers. And, you know, at some point, all of us, our humanity, have to kick in. No matter where people are coming from, we have to be kind. Now, I'm all about legal immigration, but I also feel as though there is a room for people to come to the United States, and if they seek asylum and they're granted asylum, let them in.
Well, but it's the 14th Amendment. Once they come into the country, they're under the 14th Amendment. We're supposed to treat everybody equally. We're supposed to take care of them once they're here. Illegal or legal, unfortunately, that's the way.
Well, that's just being human. You don't even have to have an amendment for that.
But there is one.
But here's
the
thing.
There is one to protect them.
Thank God, right? But here's the thing. If you come to the United States just because you want to come, you're not fleeing from violence, you're not fleeing from drug lords, your life is not in danger. At that point, if you have a child and a husband and a wife, It's up to us to put the people on a bus and send them back as a family. Don't keep their kids.
Right.
Send them back. Mom, dad, and kid. And what I found out was it's $775 per day to house an immigrant child. You know what? Those poor people fleeing would be happy to take 1 week of that. $775 times 7 days a week. Set up an international fund or something. Give them that little change and said bye-bye. Because I know, coming from a third world country myself, hell, a thousand U.S. goes a long way.
That's right.
It really does. Mm-hmm. So if you figure 775 times 7, I'm not good at math, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? But the thing is to keep one part of the family and send back the others, and then you're losing the children and you don't know who they belong to. You know, my mother had a saying, and she said, if I'm going to eat salt and rice, or just rice alone, let me eat it with my children.
Right.
Don't separate the children. That's all I'm saying.
And that article was really... like profound. It really was the article that you posted on Facebook. Everybody should go see the media, go to the CETA media page and read that article, because there's a whole lot more to it.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself, well, who's responsible for all the people fleeing to the border, and why so much overcrowding? Well, there's a lot of things. You have to look at global warming. You have to look at the governments in those countries. Sometimes their own governments fail them.
Sure.
And you have to look at wars, famine, a lot of things. And also a lot of people. What do we always talk about? Sex education at appropriate ages and academic and trade. Don't bring these children into the planet if you're not prepared to take care of them.
Right.
I mean, we understand if you make a mistake, we'll help you. But you tell me, if you don't have food to eat and you're fleeing from your country, you're coming and you have five kids.
Right.
Think
or
about
more.
The cycles, right. You know, psychological effect, yeah, of the children and all that too. But anyways, exactly. So our show today... for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with CETA and Friends, we have an action-packed show today. This,
yes,
is the kind of show we like. We've got the good folks from Be Unique Magazine. What a great name. Be Unique. And they are unique. And then, of course, we have Miriam Ambrose and Sue, who's here. And I tell you, it was a toss-up who's going to go first, but we're going to have Miriam Ambrose and Sue go first, and they're going to talk about saving... this historic building, Coral Gables, right?
Green Gables.
Green Gables. Green Gables. You know, there is a Coral Gables in Miami.
Yes.
There is, right? And
yes.
I know exactly where it's at, too. But so on my left, we have Jennifer East, who is with Be Unique.
Yes.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And then we have Mary Brotherton. Such easy names. Thank you, Lord, today.
Hi.
Hi, Mary. And then we have Tyrell Ernest, who could be East, but is not.
Hello,
Tyrell,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you
Sue
for having
Fallon
me.
Is here, and Mary Ambrose, and they're going to be talking about the historic building that we want to save. So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And so let's start off by saying, tell us a little bit about both of you and why, you know, I mean, this topic, we all talk about history, and everybody wants to use history to their advantage when it's an advantageous point, right? But this is important, saving this building.
Absolutely.
And so tell us about yourself. You're a writer and you're a school teacher, and now you got involved in volunteering.
Yes, I am a teacher by trade. I've taught Florida history for many years. Right now I'm a STEAM teacher. That's science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. But history is still my first love. And I'm also president of the Melbourne Women's Club, and that's how I got involved with Green Gables. I went to see because the house itself was built by a former president of the Melbourne Women's Club in 1896. So I went to see it and just fell in love with it. So I've now been elected as president of Green Gables. I do write. I have books out under my pen name, and I am working on another book right now, The Ghosts of Melbourne. But my major thrust right now is to save and restore Green Gables and to make it a center for the community, for education, for people to be able to come and use as a community center. We're one of the few places that's left on the Indian River that has that will have public access. So that is my main goal right now.
Right, and you brought with you Sue Fallon, and she is your newly appointed Director of Public Relations. And I just want to say, I was wondering why you and Sue look so happy, and I think it is because you volunteer. I just read an article where it talked about volunteering is so beneficial to your health, and it makes you a happier human being. So welcome, Sue. You do look happy.
Thank you.
So how'd you get involved Green Gables?
I worked for the city of Melbourne. I've been a secretary for years. I spent 14 years there. Didn't know much. I knew Green Gables existed, but didn't know the real story. And then I became a member of the Melbourne Women's Club and realized there was this person whose family donated land for the first home for the Women's Club. And when I tied the two together and talked to Marion and got involved, I got immensely interested in the home that was owned by the Nora and William Wells. And that's how I became involved.
Yeah, and you know, Ellen, we had Marion on the show before, we talked about this, and since then a lot of things has happened since the last time you came on the show.
Yes.
And so now we're really actively trying to save the house.
Yes.
So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what can we do to help this cause?
I think the most important thing is for people to spread the word. We need the word to get out that we are on a timeline. I know this has been going on for a few years, but up until now there hasn't been a whole lot of action. They were cleaning out the house. They were, you know, tending the grounds. They were kind of getting their feet wet. Our newly elected board is on a mission now. We are going to set a deadline, and we are going to raise the money, and we are going to do this. But, you know, the family still owns the house, and it's getting to the point where they've been very patient for a very long time, and we want to make sure that we do this before their patience runs out. And
yeah, because I guess they want to sell the property. Is that it?
Yes. There are
developers.
And there
are people that are interested in buying it.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, it's on US 1, right on the Indian River, just south of Hibiscus. It's an ideal location for office building, for Cumberland Farms, for, you know, some kind of commercial property.
And I read where it's 174 acres?
No, it's an acre and a half.
It's an acre. So
that originally they owned...
Oh, he bought 174 originally.
Yes.
He
owned most of...
Because he built that house for his wife because she had pneumonia.
Yes.
And
they,
he wanted
they
to
built
have somewhere.
It.
Yes.
Yes, they found Melbourne to be delightful, and they found the people were friendly, and the climate was good for her health. So they built the house, and they just used it. They made it their retirement home, and they threw themselves into the community. They started the first library, the first auditorium. Wells Park was their donation. Holy Trinity Church exists because of them. So many of the things that we take for granted in Melbourne and the area today are because of William and Nora Wells.
I wonder why more people are not talking about this. I mean, it's like when I read about it, and I spoke to you the last time, I did a lot of research, and I'm like, this is really a treasure.
It's like Melbourne's hidden
for
treasure.
Yes, for our children. And I know they used to give tours at the house. Are they still doing that?
We give tours. In the past, they gave tours. They had one gala. And since we took over, we started a living history education program. And we have classes come and visit. And they not only tour the house, but we dress in costume. And we teach them about the early history of both Florida and Melbourne and Brevard County. They learn about the games kids played back then, and they play those games. We had picnic tables donated, so they have a picnic right on the Indian River. They make soap. They make, you know, they churn ice cream. We're trying to make it a hands-on living history museum and education center that kids love to come to.
And the house was damaged, I think, in 2004. Who paid after it got damaged? Was the family involved back then? Because when the hurricanes came, it took a really bad hit.
The family was actually living in the house up until that time, and then the hurricanes made it damaged so much that they kind of moved out, and it was kind of left alone. And then the organization started. It started as Save Green Gables, and they took over. And we do emergency repairs. We pay the taxes. We pay the termite bond. We pay the insurance. We pay for all that. That's what our fundraising has done so far, is, you know, to keep it going. We've done roof repairs several times, and we're slowly trying to fix things up, but that we can't do a major restoration until we actually purchase it.
Right, and you know, as it is, Brevard County, Florida, have so many nonprofits. I'm not kidding. I get about 10 phone calls a week for nonprofits to come on the show, and you know, our sponsors could only help so much, right? So, Sue, what is your role with all of this?
Well, I've been able to, via websites and newspapers, radio, get the word out about when we have open houses or events on the property, to get the community to come in and view the house and spread the word that we need, you know, a minimum of $250,000 to go forward and be able to purchase the home.
That's what they're asking, $250,000.
No,
it's worth more than
no,
that.
That's
a house right in Lake Washington. It's probably $250,000.
Yeah, if we get the $250,000, the family is willing to chip in with us. And then we will qualify for a $500,000 grant from the Historic Society, and that would get us to the purchase.
So let's talk business.
A million.
Where are we at? Are we close to the 250?
We're not, because we've had...
Well, Ellen, let's get busy. We got
to
help.
Yeah, we've had operating costs, and we've had repairs, and we've gotten a lot of community partners now. We have A1 Affordable Lawn, does our lawn for us for $25, an acre and a half. It's just the cost of his gas. He does that for us twice a month. We had Tropic Greenery come in, and they trimmed all the trees. That was a $4,000 job that they did for free. So we're working on getting community partners so that the money that we do raise can go towards the purchase now. Before, it was all going towards operating costs. So now, you know, we're trying desperately. We did get a grant from Gannett, from the Community Thrives. We have just started applying for grants. Several of us are taking courses on grant writing. So we're starting to apply for grants. So we're really steamrolling forward to get that money for the purchase rather than just for upkeep and maintenance.
So this is serious stuff.
Yes.
What can the community do to help? I mean, I am very willing to attend a fundraiser. I'll give you all the days I'm off and the time, but I can spread the word as well. But I mean, seriously, there is enough people in Melbourne, Florida, or Brevard County, Florida, that if everyone pitches in $10, we can save this historic
building. Absolutely. I think I broke it down on one of the comments that I put on Facebook. There are so many people, I forget what the count is, 500,000 or something like that in Brevard County. It might even, it must probably even be a bigger number. I broke it down to 86 cents a person would do it. And if it was just Melbourne, it was something like $4.96 a person. If everybody made this a priority and donated, we have a GoFundMe up on Facebook. We have, if you go to our website, Save Green Gables, we have a PayPal where you can donate. We have a mail-in. When people come to the house, we have, you can make a donation. We have mail-in donations. So, that's incredibly important that people kind of say, okay, it's going to be done now. It's not going to be done, if we wait, it's just going to go away.
Yeah. Well, when people are running for office, like when I ran for office, we have a campaign. And you can get a list. You could buy a list from, any of these companies in town. And those lists, you can mail things out to people and ask them to donate, $25, $100, whatever. Have you tried getting one of those lists?
We have been. We've been doing them in portions because when we
stamps.
Do a mailing, it's not just the cost of stamps, but we want to make sure that whoever we write to, we can respond and follow up with. So we don't want to just send out a mass mailing
Yes.
and then not get back to anybody. We follow up on what we do, make sure that everybody is well thanked if they donate. We do have some people that make a monthly, that it's a regular monthly donation that comes to us automatically. That's a huge help, because that definitely helps us with our operating costs. And we are starting now. The new board has decided we're going to start a pledge program where people can pledge the money towards the total. But if it didn't go through, they would get their money back, because I think some people are hesitant to donate if they don't think we're going to succeed. But
right.
We are determined.
But I mean, people should just give generously because it's for such a good cause,
So you said, even if it was $5 for every person that was in Brevard County.
Yes.
She broke it down to 86 cents.
Yeah, I know, but the $5,
yeah.
$5 would definitely be right.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
So Sue, what is a vision for Green Gables? If if everything goes through and we get every single person in Brevard County to donate or spread the word, if you cannot donate, tell a friend or call a friend. Or share the PayPal that Marion has on her Facebook. I mean, what is the vision for Green Gables?
The vision is to get the funding and to be able to purchase the home and then renovate it to its original style of that era, and then to have it open as a historical building with tours and have people, the volunteers, dressed in the period costumes, have activities going on that were done during that time, like Marion explained, with the games and soap making, and have a vision of a little trolley going through downtown Melbourne to any other historical sites, with our site being the main starting point for the trolley, and so that people could take a tour of all the downtowns.
Yeah. Well, I just got back from Philadelphia, and I went to a certain area where they have preserved historical sites. And it one of the homes we went in, I think where Marion Ross lived, and she made the flag. And that whole...
Betsy Ross.
Marion, Betsy Ross. I'm from Trinidad. Excuse me. It's okay. People excuse nice people. Okay. Yeah. Betsy Ross. And there was a home there where it was the same concept, where people were dressed in historical clothing and people had donated a whole bunch of clothes. And my goodness, there were so many children and moms and dads putting on the costumes and taking pictures. And they kind of walked you through. And I think that would be something that would bring a lot of tourism to the area. Our restaurants would do well, or hotels. Absolutely. Hey, people could make a weekend out of something like this and come to Melbourne, Florida.
Oh, and our events right. that we plan on having, we're going to have a huge murder mystery dinner event that people can come to. We want to have the grounds open for picnics and, you know, for public use, so that people will be able to come when they want. We want to have classes and educational seminars, weddings.
Weddings would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of events did Green Gables do in the past? They did a lot of other events in the past that a lot of people attended.
Yes. Early on, they did open houses, and they did that one Fall Back in Time. Since the new board took over, the first thing we did was we did a harvest festival and craft fair, which was very successful. We had 38 vendors on the grounds, all different kinds of items that people could buy, and they toured the house. We've had a pet adoption. We just recently teamed with Wayne Ivey's shelter in Melbourne, and they bought some pets, and we had over 300 people pass through. One of the pets was adopted on site, which they say is unusual. Usually at pet adoptions, people come and get interested, but maybe they go to the shelter later. We had one adopted on site, and then I think three families went to the shelter. I had a video of all the animals that were available, because of course we couldn't have them all on the property. And they found animals that they fell in love with and went back to the shelter. So hopefully more animals were adopted.
So I'm thinking, how about getting the school children involved?
They are.
High school, you know, and maybe, because, you know, if the children are involved and they get excited about it and they have a passion for history, maybe their parents would get involved. I mean, for the cup, you pay what, a couple of bucks a day for a cup of coffee? Some people do. I don't, but I know a lot of people do.
Oh, yeah. You go to Starbucks, you're going to pay.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe we should get people involved in that way. Yes. I know. Well, I don't want to say that yet, okay, you know, because I'm not sure that they want to get involved. But the thing is, you know, I think what we need to do, maybe you all could get in touch with our friends at Be Unique Magazine as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
The Florida Today. I mean, and it doesn't matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or independent. Maybe get involved with all those places. There are people that care about history that do have a label behind their name. I mean, everyone should care about saving Green Gables. Why not? I mean, for what it would do for Brevard County and for Melbourne, Florida, it's for the next generation.
Absolutely.
You're leaving a footprint for our children.
Yes.
And when we get involved in history and we know who we are, we can put value on each other's lives because we know where we come from. And so I don't see why we're not hearing more about this, but I think Ellen and I would do our best to put it on our websites and stuff. So
Thank you.
What else can we do? Can we partner up with other businesses in town? Have you guys tried that?
We are working on that. I'm trying to work with, I actually called to make an appointment to work with Main Street Melbourne, because we are in that historic district.
Yes.
And in that kind of loop for revitalization. So I want to work more closely with them, because I believe if we get Green Gables up and running the way we want it to, with the vision that we have, we will be at least number two on TripAdvisor. Which, you know, if people come to Green Gables for our events, they're certainly going to go downtown and to a restaurant. And you know, it's going to be in the air. If we have our trolley going, it will definitely bring it all together. The other thing we talked about is, you know, Melbourne doesn't have a ghost tour. So at night, you know, the trolley can run during the day to visit the stores and the businesses. But at night, we can do a ghost tour. And we're going to base it off. Elizabeth Anderson has a new book coming out, Haunted Melbourne.
Right.
So we're going to base it off that.
Well, Sue, we're seeing a lot of people in town that when they care about something, they get involved and they have a rally, or they're activists. And, you know, activists are great. Activists give their time. We volunteer. We just give back to the community. We believe in what we're doing. I'm just wondering, can we do like a rally, a call to action?
Yes.
For history?
In October, I believe we're going to have it one of the days proclaimed Green Gables Day. And thank Nora and William Wells for all that they've done for the city of Melbourne with all the land they've donated. And we're going to have like another event that day with activities going on, perhaps food and drink, and just make it, you know, have everyone get excited about the history of Green Gables and what we're trying to do.
It's kind of a call to arms day. You
yes,
know,
it is.
Come and show your support. Bring your signs, you know, this place counts, that kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, if somebody wanted to get involved, you do have a website and you have a Facebook page. So let our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends know if they can donate, maybe they could send a friend or maybe they can drop some items off for you. So give us the physical address for the women's club and also for the websites.
Well, the physical address of Green Gables is 1501 South Harbor City Boulevard, Melbourne. It is south of Hibiscus, right next to Reflections, and Einstein's is on the other side. So that's our physical location. Our webpage is savegreengables.org or greengables.org. Either one will work. And our Facebook page is Green Gables at historicriverviewvillage.org.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Florida Historical Society, they're also involved.
We're working on getting them involved.
Well, they should be. And if they're not, we're going to have to send them a letter, Miss Ellen. And let them know that Melbourne, Florida have a treasure in Green Gables and it's his history. And we'd like for that to remain there so that people could know about our town and invest. I mean, it's an investment in our future. Why not? Have you heard of them before, Jen? You see? Now Jennifer knows and she'll tell 10 people. If everybody cares and tell 10 people, we've done our job today, right? And out of that 10, maybe somebody would give up their cup of Starbucks for a week.
That's right.
So that's how it starts.
And we have it posted.
By word of mouth. You know, it's the best form of advertising.
And I have it posted on the Facebook page, on the CETA Media Facebook page. Go there. You can just hit the donate button, and it'll go right to the Green Gables website. So you'll be able to see that. We're going to hear from our sponsors really quickly, and then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with CETA and Friends.
Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of CETA McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply CETA Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510 in Cocoa, Florida. We're also on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And Ellen, what a robust first half hour we had. We have an action-packed studio. We should just read the names off one more time.
Right.
Jennifer East is here, Mary Brotherton, Tyrell Ernest, Sue Fallon and Marion Ambrose, who spoke about why it's important to get involved in history and save Green Gables.
That's right. And you should. And the donate button is on our CETA Media Inc. on Facebook.
Maybe all the nonprofits in our town should make a conscious effort to donate 10% of their profits to Green Gables.
Or just simply have some of their events at Green Gables so that way you draw attention to it. And then again, you can have the donate opportunity right there.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in this together, right?
We are.
But what's more important than preserving history so that the children and the grandchildren of people, all of us, I have grandchildren, I would love for them to dress up and go in that home and see all the beautiful things. I mean, the wood was imported from India. That just tugs at my heart right there, Miss Ellen. Maybe we should do a curry chicken luncheon. You know? Yeah. And now we have another group here. And I want to know, this is important. My friend Mary Brotherton and I, Brotherton, have been talking back and forth on Facebook about this magazine called Be Unique Magazine. And who comes up with a name like that? It's beautiful. How do you come up with a name like that, Miss Mary Brotherton?
Well, I went to lunch with my friend Jennifer East, and we were talking about creating a magazine one day. And we were bouncing around a bunch of different ideas for names, and serendipitously, at the exact same moment we looked up, I was taking notes. That's what I do. I write. And so I looked up at her and we engaged eyes and we both said, whatever we do, it has to be unique.
Oh my gosh.
But it's not spelled. I mean, the people who are listening can't see what you're looking at. It's spelled B-U-N-E-K-E with a capital U and every other letter is small, lowercase, because you are what's important to us.
Oh my goodness. And you're also the president of Peace Corps, Inc.?
That is correct.
And you're giving back to us by volunteering again.
Absolutely. 100%. We are 100% volunteer driven.
And you brought, we also have, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about yourself. We were having lunch and you had this moment, this unique moment.
Yes.
And you guys decided to start this magazine.
Well, you know, and this is not, I'm not new to the publishing world. I've been a creative person and a graphic designer my entire life. I think I started when I was about 6 painting rocks. You know, remember Pet Rocks?
Yeah.
Well, I had my own form, Pet Rocks. I dug them out myself and painted them myself. And so I knew it from a young age that I had to do something that was creative. And so when I was working on for-profit magazines, I just always knew that I wanted to do something where I was giving knowledge away for free. Because I feel like everyone deserves to learn and grow and know, and be given options and and being ideas that are from all over the world. And so when Mary and I were talking about it, we're like, I'm just so tired of feeling like that pressure of having to sell something to someone. I don't want to do that.
So you found a balance.
Yes.
It's a very healthy balance.
Yes. Well, we haven't started making money yet. We're getting there.
Yes. Well, we have a great place in mind for you to have a fundraiser.
I know.
It's called Green Gables.
Yes, for sure. I mean, this is exactly, though, listening to your story, this is exactly why we doing what we're doing is because we want to showcase those that are really trying to make a difference. And both of you are prime examples of why we do what we do.
Absolutely. We like to focus on the people that nobody knows about. And we give a voice to those who may not have a voice or may not know how to use a voice. But with Sue, I think you've got this covered.
But we're global. So let's open it up to not just being local, because history is history. It doesn't matter where it's sitting. Right. And it's important that people everywhere know. And so that's, you know.
Well, the fact that you have things that were imported from India to build this house helps make it very poignant for some of our readers and our writers. We have writers that represent 19 different countries, and four of them are from India.
Right. So, you know, that's always awesome. A connection.
Yes.
And so we have with us as well, Tyrell Ernest. And Tyrell is originally from Ohio, Akron, Ohio, and he now calls Florida home. And he's a writer. He does stand-up, variety of roles. And he also supports Be Unique magazine, and he's a co-host of Coffee or Tea. And I like that he says no phones allowed. That said something. So welcome to our show.
Hello.
And you're one of those people that when I think about you and volunteering, you know, they say volunteering bridges the generation gap.
Yes, definitely.
And that's, when I look at you, that's what's happening right now.
Yes, I look about 17. I'm actually 24. I just turned 24, May 24th. So, one of the key points I was thinking about it was definitely being younger-ish. It's really big for us to volunteer with our time as much because you have a huge generation gap between what's going on in the world, parents and their kids, you have family gaps, and it's just volunteering your time automatically makes things heal. I know it's a weird thing to think about, but when you're volunteering your time, generally you're doing it out of happiness. Some people get forced to volunteer their time, but volunteering is something that once you've done it, especially a variety of times.
It's like a drug. It prevents isolation. It prevents loneliness.
Yeah.
It increases your mental health. I think that's what volunteering does for me.
Yeah.
I could feel it. It does the same for you.
Yeah. It's a different type of feeling because before I was with Be Unique, I was kind of doing my own thing and writing and acting and kind of like that's where my career is going. So when I met Be Unique, it was different. When I met Jennifer and I met Mary, it was a little bit different because it was more of a, we generally do care about you. So I haven't ever during the time being with Be Unique had to be like, oh, I feel like I'm doing something I don't want to do, or oh, this is boring, or oh, this is not something I want to do. I've actually had my eyes open to a lot of different things joining Be Unique that I would have never, ever, probably not even say never, I would have got around to it. But I'm glad that I got it early in life because it's always good to educate yourself on different things and be informed about what's going on in the world. So, yeah, it's just volunteering for me when it comes to anything that Be Unique needs. I try to do my best, which they tell me all the time I do my best, but I tell them don't butter my biscuit. But I try to do as much as possible because there's just no better feeling than volunteering.
Well, volunteering also fosters really good social and family relationships as well. And sometimes when people hear the word volunteer, they think, oh my God, I don't have time. But really, it's maybe an hour a week. It could be an hour a month. It's called giving back your positive energy to a cause that you care about. And if you care about it and you have a passion for it, then you're helping yourself and you're helping the cause as well. So how did you guys go from having the magazine to now having the podcast? Who wants to take that question?
I can take that.
Yes.
But I want to say something first about our volunteers. The majority of our volunteers are our writers. And that, like I said earlier, they come from 19 different countries. And they do what they do in their after hours. They have day jobs and or night jobs, some of them. But they do what they do on the weekends and when they're not working. Just like Tyrell was off today, so he said, I'm going to come join you. And he's the first person with his hand in the air whenever we say we have something to do. And just like everybody at my age, I have forgotten the question.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to know, well, you have the magazine, and hopefully people will put ads in the magazine and write for the magazine. And then from there, you also now have the podcast. So how do you work both?
Oh, there's more.
Oh, there's more?
There's more. We have the podcast. We have the magazine. We have a webisode called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed, which is one of Tyrell's babies. He's one of our co-hosts. He also is our primary person on our Coffee or Tea to Go show, which takes the show out on the road.
But where do you tape? Do you tape at a studio, or where do you guys
tape? We do tape at Brinson Studio in Orlando at Fashion Square Mall.
How often?
We tape about every 6 weeks or so.
Okay.
We tape
four
episodes.
So, Ellen, I think we're going to have to go on that show, too. And we'll take Mary and Sue with us.
And we do have guests, and we talk from, they talk from a millennial perspective. Sometimes they'll pull a topic out of their little jar and discuss, these are topics they've agreed upon earlier, but they pull it out at random. And we
totally
do it
unscripted.
I was just going to say, we love that.
Totally unscripted.
Our podcast is called Be Unique Unscripted. And the way we got into that is one of our board members, Yvonne Mason Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own podcast, and she invited us to come on board as a guest. And from there, she said, why don't you take up over a couple of nights each month? And I think now we need to just do our own show, because it's getting really, really big. We have guests scheduled through May of next year.
So, Tyra, what are your goals with the podcast? Like, what do you see Be Unique and your podcast for the next 5 years?
5 years.
Have you thought, or maybe the next year?
I do yearly goals. I don't like to do anything past a yearly goal, because my mind is...
You're so young.
Even, I feel like I'll regulate myself even when I get older, just because if I put out plans too far, they'll crash, and it's like I'll get... So I like to do yearly goals. So this time next year, it's July, correct?
Correct.
Is it July yet? No, it's June.
Almost.
Why did I ask you like you knew what time it was? So, so June, July next year, I'll actually be in LA. But with Be Unique, I plan on kind of being into the long haul's over.
You can call from LA.
Yeah, we're in a digital age, so wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be part of Be Unique. And the organization really kind of like took a chance with getting to know me and let me in and stuff like that, and it's something I really, really appreciate. So between that and the podcast, I just plan on doing as much as possible to help and to make more people get drawn in and to share more and to just broaden the spectrum on, you don't have to be 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus to volunteer your time for a cause, especially one that's gearing towards making our earth better, or
right,
gearing towards historical facts, or gearing towards just
helping the elderly,
just anything. Because just along with history is one of those things that you do not want to repeat itself, even though it's said to doom to be to repeat itself. And for me, I would rather history not repeat itself, for my case. But if we don't preserve certain things, we don't acknowledge and we don't treasure our history, then it will. And even when it comes to Be Unique and us doing things that have to do with philanthropy and just saving Earth, like I would like to live on Earth. So I feel like it's not taking too much time out of my day to make myself a part of something bigger than what I am.
So, Jennifer, you're with Be Unique magazine. What do you personally spend most of your time with for the magazine? What do you find yourself doing the most?
Pretty much everything that you see visually.
Yeah.
I've done. So from the, keeping up with the website, creating the magazine, the look of the magazine. Mary's the ultimate story gatherer. She's the editor-in-chief, so she gets all the content, but then I take all the content and create something. I spend a lot of time editing videos and shooting videos and photography. And then I'm kind of like a one woman production team, but I do have some amazing professionals that do volunteer their time, and they've gotten more involved in it. So we're very young. We're a year old. So we have plans that to include as many people as possible. And as soon as the word gets out, like via social media, I also run the social media as well. So that's our biggest thing. Like, if anybody really wants to help us, just follow us. We need those numbers. We need eyeballs on what we're doing and comments, engage. We put out the podcast bi-monthly on Thursdays. And then every Monday night, like tonight, there's a new episode of Coffee or Tea. It's literally under 10 minutes of your time. and just watch it. We need viewers.
Well, you know, it's word of mouth, right? So
it is.
So, Mary, how do you encourage creative thinking within the organization, within the group, within, you know?
I don't really have to encourage it because we surround ourselves with people that are creative. I think because people, Jennifer and I started this, and people picked up on our enthusiasm for creating something, like Tyrell said, bigger than us. And we're like a giant magnet. We have just been attracting more and more amazing people that are charitable and kind. I always say that Peace Corps starts with philanthropy and ends with enthusiasm. What comes in the middle is what you see. Those are the products. But it's all about education and action, compassion, and in evolution even. It's about charity and optimism and responsibility.
And hope.
And hope.
It is. So, Tyrell, where do you get most of your ideas from for the shows? Which group? I mean, who's calling you up and saying, hey, let's do a show about this or that? Oh, Mary.
This is what generally happens. This is what generally happens. Usually at a weird time at night, 2. I say 2 a.m. I'll get an email from Mary. Hey, and I just put yes. I'm at the point now where they know what I'm comfortable with, and I don't have an uncomfortable state. So if they were to be like, hey, we're going to go, which we do have, which I don't want to disclose yet, but we have a really cool at location coming up at the end of the year, a few of them. And before they even asked me, I was like, hey, can we do this? And they were like, yeah. So at the point of like inspiration, my mind is a character. My body just reacts to what my mind does. So a lot of my inspiration will come either from being on site and asking, or they'll just ask me. That's pretty much what it is. But for anything else I do, I just sleep. Yeah. And even like Jennifer, I'll sleep and wake up like anything else.
And Mary, like, okay, I'm 55. I just look good, but I'm 55. Ha-ha.
You look amazing.
But I mean, you look great. We all look great, right? But we're growing up now in this age of social media, where the young people could just like touch, I mean, you don't, in like 5 minutes they get things done. And us older people, we have to learn. So what impact does social media have on Be Unique Magazine?
I'd say Be Unique Magazine is probably 1/3 social media or more.
More than that.
Maybe more. The magazine is kind of like the foundation, and everything else that we do shoots off from that, but everything that we do has a social media outreach, and we're on the 6 majors, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even Pinterest, LinkedIn, and of course YouTube, which has how many videos, Jennifer?
I think up to date 75.
75 wow. Videos.
Yes.
And I have to give Tyrell a virtual pat on the back. Actually, I'll give him a physical one.
Yeah.
He and Jennifer and Franklin Prather, who's one of our other volunteers, he's another professional videographer.
Awesome.
Went to a Jacksonville Film Festival last weekend, and within the course of 3 hours?
An hour and 15 minutes.
An hour and 15 minutes. Tyrell interviewed 16
up and coming filmmakers or established.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, he did
an
amazing job.
Each one had a great story.
But Tyrell, here's the thing. You're interviewing all these people, right? But behind the scenes, you guys have to have a little change coming in to help the magazine and the show, correct?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
how are we going to do all this now?
Okay, so with the change coming in, like, we are completely volunteer-driven, but we do have places where you can donate. You can sponsor, especially for our show. Our show is starting to catch some footing, so it would be really smart for anyone and everyone who wants to donate and to sponsor, because it's a trend, just like you said, with social media and with it being younger. Everything we do is selfless. Selfless acts always get exactly what they're supposed to do, especially with, like, you guys do with your historic and what we do with Be Unique. So it's as much as we do volunteer, we know how the world works. So we don't pester anything like that. We will continue to do what we do, but as always, donations are accepted, and we are looking for more sponsors for anyone
right.
that wants to.
So give us a website if somebody wants to go, or the social, or the Facebook page if somebody wants to donate to you guys as well.
I actually just posted on the CETA media page.
Thank you very much.
On here, if you have a story, you need to be unique.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right? Perfect.
We want people who are unique. We want people who are philanthropic. We want people who are making a change. Our niche is that we focus on difference makers, world changers. We don't want to just talk about the newest store down the street that had a ribbon cutting. That's not what we do.
Yeah, that's not really news, is it?
No.
I mean, people, everyday people who wake up every day, the mom who's trying to make it on $10 an hour, you know, the woman whose son was in the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up in jail. Those are stories. Those are human interest stories that appeal to people.
And the kid that was in the wrong place at the right time and made a difference and became a hero.
Yes, that's right. Right. Or the woman who could take $10 and spin it into gold. We want to hear those stories. I see your eyes.
Absolutely.
I know you want to know that, right?
With our stories, especially with us having different people, it always stems from different events. So we diversify with our show and our podcast, and it's just like we have so much coming in and so much to put out, which is really cool. So we find different and cool stories, not just about regular volunteer work, but about people. And it's the people don't understand that people are the core. Like, you can make up stories, you can talk about ribbon cuttings all you want to, you can talk about Trump all you want to, you can flood the news and saturate it as much as possible with negative, but that one light, or that two light, or that three light, or 75 light videos can completely change and surface something. So yes, we love to diversify and try to find as much as possible of good
stories.
Now,
how do you interview 16 people in how many minutes?
You have to be great. You have to be really great.
Yeah. Well, bring them again.
No, I like to throw myself into things. And I'm really glad being with Unique and Jennifer and Mary that they trust me enough to be like, hey, you got this. I'm going to give you a little of this, and then you do what you do. It took a few times. Jennifer helped me, Mary helped me, and they see the potential that I have. With the whole interviewing thing, it's kind of simple. I've been listening to people my whole life. So as long as you can just banter back and forth with me, it's simple. When it gets down to the point people want to be a little extra or drag on or don't want to go with the program, it can be a little taxing, but I like to do it. So it's kind of a competition to me. So right. I want to get to the point where maybe one time I have to do like 30 interviews in like an hour and a half.
Well, you know what I always say? I would say, you know what? Right. Just open your mouth and say hello to people. Make eye contact. I mean, in this age of social media where everybody's on their phones, it's so important when you see someone to look them in the eye and say, hi. Great things happen when you just talk to people. I mean, I was telling Ellen, I was in the airport when I was coming back from L.A., and I just made eye contact with this woman, and she said hello, and she had an accent. She was from Ireland. Her brother was just in Los Angeles to pick up an award. He won an award. And so we started talking, and before you know it, he called in on our show from Ireland, and he did this wonderful film about autism. Mm-hmm. And it's all over the world. He's just picked up more awards in London, but we remain friends, right? So the thing is, I find that I think you get back in life what you put out. And if you're a nice person and people could feel that your heart's in the right place, it comes back to you tenfold, right?
Absolutely.
And that is a characteristic that all of us should have. And I just want to ask, we have five people in the studio today. So I want to start with Marion and Sue, and then we'll go around the room. What is one of the characteristics that you believe every leader should possess?
I think the main thing that a leader should do is to make everybody feel included and welcome. You know, leadership is not telling people what to do. It's gathering people to do something with you. So I think that's an important
thing. So living by example.
Yes.
Right? And so, Sue, same question. What is the characteristic that you believe every leader, or every organization for that matter, should have?
Well, the first is integrity, but I think it's, like Marion said, letting people, when you bring them in to help you, let them do their thing.
Feel inclusive.
Yes.
And same thing for you, my friend, Tyrell.
It's a little odd. I think influence is a really big thing that a leader should have, because a lot of things can tie into having influence. And if your influence is greater and it's led in the right direction, then the influence will incorporate everybody else and it'll just rub off. Influence just rubs off. That's how the world works.
Yeah. I think Mary Brotherton, who's going to tell us. Mary's serious about this one, I can tell. Well, it's dedication too, right?
Well, dedication is part of it, but yes. I was going to say kindness. If you're a leader, you have to be kind, because you're going to have a lot of people working with you. And if you're not kind to the people that are supporting you, you're not going to have any support, because they will feel that and they will understand that you're phony.
And what about you, Jen?
And see, she leads right into what I was thinking is being authentic. I feel like a lot of times when you are authentic, people totally get it. They see it. And when you aren't, they know it too. And if your heart's in the right place and you're it's like every day I wake up and I think to myself, can I do it again today? And then I look in, like on my phone or something, and I'll see something about someone and I'll just say, I have to do it for them.
Right.
I have to.
Well, and Ellen and I, we talk about this all the time. We always say, you know, if you have faith, family, food, finances, and you have the ability to forgive, you're good, right? But I always say, you know, when I wake up every day, I've been poor to where I didn't have shoes on my feet till I was 12 years old. And when my mother had a ration, just rice, that's it. But when you're poor, when you're raised poor, you're raised with a lot of integrity. When God gives it back to you big time in life and you're not poor anymore, you're comfortable, you don't forget where you came from. And I think the whole thing in life is the experience that we gather from birth to wherever we are right now. It is all a journey, and you take all your experiences and you give it back somehow or the other, right? And you and I have talked about this before. Why do we have our show? We take our life experience and we channel it into positive energy.
That's right. And why not? Because there's so much negative. You can make a choice every single day. As far as leadership goes, I kind of go a little bit with what Jennifer said, but it's transparency. Mm. You know, you're allowed to make mistakes when you're a leader, but the leader owns up to them.
Right.
And when you're a professional, you know what you know, and you know what you don't know, and you know the difference.
I think one of the biggest thing in life too is having the ability to say, I'm sorry.
Right.
It's so beautiful when someone calls you out on something and you were wrong and you said, oh my God, you are right. I was wrong about that. Right. And it's so beautiful to admit it, right? And
that's,
I see you're shaking your head.
Beautiful?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is so hard for me.
It's growth.
You're
24. You'll get better at it.
Because you know what? People walk around with so much baggage because they're not able to say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Because when you shed that, it's great. Yeah. So, I think we have 1 minute left. So, why don't we just, the websites one more time. You always hold me in line.
Okay, Green Gables, greengables.org, and Facebook, Green Gables at Historic Riverview Village, Incorporated.
BeUnique.org, BUNEKE.org. And all of our social media is at BeUnique Magazine.
Yep. Tyrell, we have a job for you. One of your shows, we're going to have you talk about how to say I'm sorry.
Listen,
that's going to be a whole show.
You come to the show, I'll say whatever you want me to. I promise.
Well, once again, all of our listeners out there who support us every single week, thank you so much for joining us again on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends. Make sure you hit up on our Facebook page, CETA Media Inc. We have all of the information from today's show about how to donate, how to get involved, certainly how to be unique. And make sure that you check out our podcast after the show on AM 1510 WWBC.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234.